Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. It is Sunday. This is the Sunday Show. This is Jack Jodell. It is every week. Hi, y'all. You're up. And Wayne is in, I think, Ohio right now. Where are you at, Wayne? Yep.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm definitely out in Columbus, Ohio. I'll be home on the 4th of July, back in Maryland.
Okay.
Good.
So, it's been 2 weeks, and everybody's dealing with summer. I wanted to ask you both at the beginning of the show today how summer is treating you this year.
Oh, not bad for me. It's so far so good, and I've got a winning record at the ballpark. That's nice, so I don't know how long that'll last, but.
I was going to say, with my blues jams, as a matter of fact, Columbus this past weekend just had their Columbus Art Festival where they literally shut down the whole downtown. There's three bridges that cross over the river there in downtown Columbus. They shut it down, and it's nothing but miles and miles of artists. And it is a fantastic event, the Columbus Art Show.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
That's art
festival.
I like the art festivals in the summer. They have
absolutely.
They have them in the winter here, but I enjoy them.
Okay. Plus, there'll be a lot of blues festivals here in Columbus. They're trying to make Columbus a unique with its own style of blues, like the St. Louis blues or the Chicago blues or the New Orleans blues. And that's what I'm also part of, the Columbus Blues Association. And so there's all summer long, there are blues festivals all over this place.
Well, don't forget.
Well, let me know when your album comes out, Wayne, and I'll buy it.
Yeah. I'll give you one. I'll give you a signed copy for free, Jack. How's that?
I'll tell all my friends about it, too.
That's right. So.
I have a question for you gentlemen. I know, Wayne, that you watch occasionally the news feed on the social networks, and it's been so blown up. I'm sure Jack has heard of it, and I was wondering what you were thinking about this gal, Rachel Denzel, out in Spokane, Washington, who was elected the head of the NAACP, and her white parents came out and put her out of the black closet and said for 20 years she's been living as black, but she's white. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, she got outed. Yeah, she got outed. Well, I guess if you really want to look at it, the NAACP really started out also including Indians. Now, that's a little sidetrack, a little side note. And then, like, by the 60s, they just narrowed it down to just the black minority aspect. I guess you could represent, as long as you're representing the interests of black minorities, that's one thing. But, she was also posing and putting on an Afro wig or having her hair styled like that.
She was
somewhat disingenuous, I guess.
She was frauding. Well, that's my opinion. I see her as someone who co-opted a culture and a people for her own identity crisis, if you will, the kindest way I could put it. But that's co-opting a race. And when you fraudulently oppose yourself as someone, I think there's a problem with that. The integrity there is not clear or good.
Well, I'm sure if she hasn't been already, she will be asked to vacate the post that she was elected to. And they'll award it to somebody that is actually that is not fraudulent. And but in the meantime, I hope she will continue to fight for the causes that she supposedly supports. And
now,
good cause,
I have another question,
good organization,
though.
And let's hope that goes that way.
Didn't she have two? And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I saw this. It was on TV because it was just a quick blurb. She has two adoptive black stepbrothers.
Sons.
Okay.
Well, then she does have somewhat of a vested interest in the organization.
That's the point I was trying to put forth. It's like,
and
it
you can't
fault her. Scam. She did have a vested interest. Yes.
You can't fault her too much then, you know.
She began on this path long before she did that. She presented a elder black gentleman as her real father, too, to anchor her black identity. I think there's some real problems with this. I've seen
some
call her in social media, and I had to sit down and laugh about it. You know, and I'm sure I'm going to get shit for this. I'm going to get smacked back. But
yeah, I understand.
She actually saw one black commentator that I'm friends with she's just a hoot. She's a heck of a humorist and a pretty sharp cookie, who is a educator in Charlotte, Virginia. And she is a black woman in her, I would say, mid-30s. And she said trans black.
I guess it applies. Yeah, sure.
I know, but one of the things that really struck me was Melissa Harris Perry's response to her.
Did she have to say about it?
She this morning asked her panel, "Well, what if she really is black?" And it's like, oh my God, basically the due diligence has been done on this woman, and she really is the white child, freckle-faced child of these Nordic American immigrant families. So
wow.
It's like holy crap. Well, my comment to that was, well, it's kind of like Maddow, you know, or Bob Dylan. Just hang a sign that says sold out.
Yeah.
Sold out. Jeez.
Well, she's at this moment, she's the head of the organization. Let us hope that through her efforts, some good will be realized out of this, despite her real identity. And as long as she isn't ripping them off or you know, absconding with money that isn't hers, or deflecting things negatively against the organization and its goals, it doesn't bother me.
I don't think she's doing any of that, Jack. I think what's upsetting to people, and certainly what I, first of all, she's a poser.
That means
she is.
And we don't understand why, and we don't know why, and I guess we might not find out why for quite a while.
Least, she's a liar. But the other thing is that she's co-opted a culture that people find it offensive that she would co-opt the culture of people in order to advance herself, and that's the way it's being seen in many communities, too. I'm not saying I see it that way. I do question myself for that reason. Why would she do that? But
would anybody do that?
That's a good point.
Right. You know, we won't know for quite a while, I'm sure. But I wondered what you guys thought of it.
Well, I guess I've made my viewpoint known. Like I say, as long as her motives were good outside of the deception, and that the end result will be beneficial to the organization rather than detract from it, she hasn't stolen any of their money or any of that stuff. I encourage her to keep fighting for the goals of that organization, and their goals are very noble and good, and let's keep it going, man.
I got one here that came up. I was listening today, NPR radio, and it's the father of the man who was attacking the police station in Texas.
Uh-huh.
Came out and said that his son was distraught, had a mental illness, and, you know, he was talking about going to attack the police. I think he had his kids taken away from him or something like that. As the father was going on, but his concluding statement was, it's because the laws that the liberals put in there is what made his son do that. And I thought,
there's
the issue, right? Now I know where the son was getting his mental illness. It's all the liberals' fault.
Oh,
okay, fine.
Yeah. That's as crazy as anything Glenn Beck's ever said. It's insane.
Well, you know what? I bet if you look into it, I bet the father and through osmosis to, onto his son, the Glenn Beck and all the right-wing extremist, you know, AM radio, blowhard radio out of Texas, probably mm-hmm. had as much fueling and driving this as anything else. It's all the liberals' fault.
Yeah, that is so insane.
What a nihilistic statement.
To even assert something like that is so utterly preposterous, you know. Where's the evidence? Where's the empirical evidence? I want to hear about it, and there's none to be had.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Pure subjective nonsense. Of course, are you surprised? I'm not.
No, Jack. I was going to say, well, see, if that's the demographics.
Exactly.
This media is pandering to, the weak-minded, those that can be swayed easily.
Yep.
And henceforth, a lot of times, and you know, a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times,
right.
it goes into up to some reactionary type consequences.
Exactly. And they have a fascination with Republicans. Tom Hartman always says, with great accuracy, look at all the Republicans you see on the early Sunday morning news shows, so-called news shows. He says it isn't Meet the Press anymore, it's Meet the Republicans. And there's a lot of truth to that. Once in a while,
yeah.
they relent and have somebody else on there. But by and large, it's whatever the Republicans say, whatever their latest charge is, whatever their latest candidate, flash in the pan or otherwise, they always get all the attention and all the media airplay. And it's getting so ridiculous. But that's why I just avoid the mainstream media like the plague. That stuff's just terrible. But, you know, and here's something to be noted, too. Once Bernie Sanders came out, they've covered him very littly in the very small in the very beginning, and they've kind of basically ignored him since. The minute O'Malley came out, oh boy, big hoop-da-da about that, and what's the other guy now? Lincoln Chafee, oh yeah, and these guys are polling very small numbers. Let's talk about the Wisconsin straw poll that was held recently by the Democrats in Wisconsin. Hillary Clinton won 49%. 41% went to Bernie Sanders, a very strong second. And all the rest of the guys were in small single digits. Now, that means nothing in and of itself, but it typifies how the media is absolutely ignoring Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders raised more money in the first 4 days he became a candidate after he announced than several of the Republicans. But all the Republicans, he raised this millions and these guys millions and... You know, it's nonsense. It's really unjust, you know?
Yeah. And we've been talking about Bernie is... Go ahead, Glenn.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, talking about Bernie, he was on Face the Nation this morning.
Good.
And I was sitting there listening to him, and I'm thinking, this man's got a real handle on what the issues truly should be for the working middle class, the general population of this country. Talking about TTP and everything else, talking about how most of all the new income is going straight to the 1%.
Straight to the top.
Everyone else is still getting less and less.
Mm-hmm.
The 99% of the rest of us are getting less and less each and every year. And how people don't see that and keep voting in this oligarchy kind of representation from the Koch brothers and all the other big contributors.
Mm-hmm.
And allow Murdoch and his sons, who are now, making a little shuffle and passing on power to those, get away with what they do.
Right. Well, the important point to note, and I'll stress this, the important point to note is that Bernie Sanders isn't just arisen out of nowhere. He's not a flash in the pan, here today and gone tomorrow kind of guy. He isn't out there for publicity or for notoriety or to be a spectacle. He has been preaching this same message for more than 30 years in his entire life as a public servant. And for that reason alone, you know he's genuine and he isn't full of bullshit. And that's why I like him so much.
Exactly. And he has stayed on that path, that cue, for that whole 30 years.
Yeah, faithfully. Yep, very true.
Exactly.
Yep, and that's why I like him. That's why...
Do you think he's not
going to turn into a Mr. Wall Street like Obama did? Obama fooled us. He came out of nowhere. He was a flash in the pan, and he's bought out by Wall Street real quick
in the military-industrial. Did anybody listen to Hillary Clinton's full-out kickoff speech today?
No, go ahead, Jack.
I missed it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It really,
I was at a guitar show.
Well, I got to tell you, the values that she espouses, I embrace very much. The problem is she's a war hawk.
The thing is,
I didn't care for that part of the speech, but every other part of it, and it angers me so because she's a woman. And I still want to believe that the values of a woman leadership are what we really crave in this country right now.
I agree.
We crave them. But a woman of integrity, and it just angers me so that a woman is as savvy and as smart and as able to do the right thing as Hillary Clinton is, because I do believe she is. There's many qualities.
She is a very capable person. I have no doubt of her intelligence and her ability.
I think she could fulfill the office of the presidency with no problem whatsoever, and better than many who have. However, she's bought and owned. She is owned. She's Obama-ing, what I call Obama-ing the nation now.
Exactly.
She's doing a good job. One speech out of New York, and the whole place is falling down on top of her. It's a love fest. She's tackling the issues. She is including the LGBT community right off the bat.
Yeah.
And she is doggedly staying online with "I am a woman and women's issues are at peril right now." Uh-huh. And she's going to pick up huge numbers following this path. I think that people are ready.
I'm sure she will.
You know, it's going to be another Obama.
Yeah, right. I know. It's like a white Obama now, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a white female Obama. That's what it is.
Which gets us back to our earlier statement or earlier conversation about the late NAACP. she's gonna sing the same song, only the DNA is a little different. So.
Well, she's just like Obama. She's way too cozy with Wall Street. She's way too cozy with the military-industrial complex. And, you know, we've had enough of this. We don't need any more of this. That's my only comment.
Jack and Gwen, I want you to think back when Clinton was elected governor for the first term in Arkansas. They came in with the ideas, and we're going to change this, and we're going to do this and stuff, and they went down that path. He lost his second election because corporate money went against him and threw him out.
And then he became a politician after that.
He came back a third term. Mm-hmm. And they surgically planted their lips right onto the tuchus of Tyson.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then he won his second term as governor. So they learned a lesson of you don't fuck big corporations.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And, and everyone is a sum of their own life's experiences. This is what she'll be bringing to the White House.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, so we can't expect a great – I really do believe she will be elected president. I don't see any of the Republicans beating her.
Well, I was going to say,
and regardless,
her and Jeb Bush, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You hold your nose, and but give me a good third viable choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, that's why I like Bernie right now. I want her and Bernie to debate heavily, often, and I want all the candidates to debate. Bernie had a great idea. He said, "Why don't we have a debate between and including the candidates of all the parties?" You know, that was a great idea, but it won't happen.
The media
is so convinced it's got to be this way or that way, and it's got to be this and that and that.
Gentlemen.
Everything's got to be controlled, you know?
That
sounds like
a Chinese fire drill.
Right.
Chinese fire, I love that statement. Love it.
Have you counted the clown car out of the clown car right now. I think that they're up to, like, what is it, 16 or 17 candidates?
It's almost becoming an infinite number. It's getting so insane.
That's right.
I mean, and including every idiot fool that's tried to run for the last 20 years, except for McCain.
Well,
every crackpot you can imagine, just Santorum,
exactly.
All these knuckleheads. Give me a break.
Well, I know that I said this to both of you, but talking about Rick Santorum, had his presidential campaign kickoff, one person showed up, and they just happened to be head of the Republican Party in the area, and she says, "Oh, I really don't support him. He's just a Republican, and I'm here as a Republican Party." Not one. They said there were four of the people there, but they were just sitting there eating breakfast. They had no interest in him at all. I thought, how about that for a delusional aspect that you've got a chance to win presidency?
Santorum is bidding to be the new Harold Stassen. Harold Stassen was an ex-Wisconsin governor or something like that who ran repeatedly for many, many, many presidential elections to get the Republican nomination and never got it. And, nonstop, constantly, you know.
Well, you know, that says a lot when you're too damn crazy for this current Republican administration, the Republican Party today.
Right. Oh, yeah. When you're too crazy for them, you're really crazy.
They claim to be Republicans.
Yeah, right.
Which they're not. Yeah. Tea Party are truly not Republicans.
No, they're extreme reactionary. They're an abomination. Any way you look at it, they're an abomination.
Well,
so you gentlemen, think that perhaps right now the question of debate is far off, and that the campaign trail is something that's wide open, that we're just going to be listening to the demagoguery of all the candidates?
Well, you won't be getting any demagoguery from Bernie Sanders. He's going to stay on the issues and on the facts, and he's not going to wage a negative campaign. That's another reason I like that man. And I look very forward to the Democratic debates. I don't care about the Republicans. They're completely irrelevant as far as I'm concerned. But Let them debate, and let them pin Hillary down on the issues, and let's have a good old-fashioned debate. Let's have a Lincoln-Douglas type of debate. Let's do that.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
You know?
Well,
yes, that was one of the Republican Party's more the progressives.
You do know that Bernie and Hillary have a lot of the issues common ground.
Well, yeah, they do.
Well,
that's why, as long as they're right.
Be common if
they're
if it's right.
They're both patting each other on the back at this point, you know.
They won't do that. They won't do that.
No. When they
Hillary
has, he's going to call her out.
Bernie has incredible. He has a lot of misgivings about Hillary Clinton's positions on many issues, among which are many of the ones we've been talking about. You know, the corporatism and the allied nature of herself with the military-industrial complex, her war hawk status. He doesn't like any of that stuff. And it would be nice for him to pin her down. It's hard to pin a Clinton down, but I think he can do it.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see him pin her down and get her to actually commit and state something that isn't just a bunch of fluff.
Well, and as long as it's not so unpalatable, though, that everybody looks and says, well, I guess Jeb Bush is who we're going to go with. Because if he gets in there, the working middle class might as well just go ahead and move into, you know, standardized housing or something.
No.
Jeb Bush is an absolute.
It's a lot worse than just worrying about the middle class. The middle class is almost no more, and who once was is now really very poor. And
right.
It's nobody's addressing it that way. They keep talking middle class when that's not a reality.
Yeah,
and
it's almost becoming extinct. The biggest issue of all, folks, and nobody talks about it in the mainstream media because they don't want to ignore it, it's not interesting enough or it's not much of a spectacle. The biggest issue of all is who is going to appoint the next three or four Supreme Court justices. It cannot be a corporatist. It cannot be a conservative. It's got to be a liberal or a progressive or both. It's got to
happen. That's just what Hillary said this morning, Jack.
Well, she's right on the money on that one.
No, she's right on the money on a lot.
Yeah.
She really is. The trouble is.
And Bernie's keeping her there, and that's what I like about his presence. You know, I want him to just really hammer her to the point where she really doesn't dare go much to the right of where she's at.
Yeah.
And you know, let's clear the air here. First of all, Hillary Clinton is no flaming conservative. She's no, you know, she had a fairly liberal record as a senator, and with certain rare exceptions like the Iraq War and stuff like that. But by and large, there wasn't a hell of a lot to really fault her on terribly, except regarding certain corporatist stuff. But by and large, she isn't that unpalatable. But she does have, she does raise grave considerations when it comes to the military and it comes to corporatism and Wall Street and all that stuff. But beyond that, she's not a horrible. Jeb Bush is far worse than she could ever imagine.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And,
well,
and
Jack,
Ted Cruz and all those other yahoos.
Jack, the trouble with that is that she's smart enough to get us in worse trouble like her husband did.
Oh, sure, exactly. Exactly.
And I still.
Well, she can buffalo a lot of people, man. Bill's coaching her. You can bet on that.
I think she's probably told her to shut the fuck up and get in the back of the car, to be honest. I think
you never know. You know damn well he's coaching her, though.
Well, I got to tell you, I think she's a lot smarter than he is. And I, especially since all the experience she's had with the elections now, I think she knows how to go about it. I really do. But
at least she doesn't
have
that Mark Penn advising her anymore. That guy was an absolute disaster.
That's true. I'm glad
he's out of the picture.
That the TPP is in place because of her years as Secretary of State and providing.
And thank God it's not going to come up again for a little while at least, because that TAA vote that went against Obama, it was part of an attached bill. It was attached to the TPP, which did pass the House, but together they were attached as one bill, and they had to be passed together before it could be sent to Obama for signature. So it's still alive. We've got to kill it once and for all, but we've got to kill the TPP, and thank God it did not fully pass.
Well, I'm afraid on some little quiet late Friday afternoon before everyone goes home for, you know, Thanksgiving or 4th of July or something like that, it's going to be, you know, a dozen people will show up in Congress, it'll vote, it'll pass, and not a whole lot will be, it'll just try to fly under the radar.
Let us hope that never happens.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Wayne. I think
that's why in my current blog, I'm inviting everybody to call the Congressional Switchboard and talk to your individual Congress office and tell that congressperson that in no uncertain terms you do not want the TPP to pass. You do not want the bill resurrected. You want it dead.
I spent last Monday and Tuesday calling people and calling into the legislators, the Democrats all across the country, saying you absolutely can't pass this. This is the decline and destruction of civilization on the entire globe. It's that
exactly,
bad. And we know it. And if you haven't read it, shame on you. No matter how uncomfortable it is, you know, there's something wrong with a piece of paper, a document that cannot be read to the public in general and yet be put through.
And that was derived from the meeting of 600 different corporate heads and stuff. And it's got to be secret? I'm sorry. On the very nature of it, it's bad.
If it can't stand the light of day, then it's a bad deal.
Yeah, right. If it can't stand sunshine, see you later.
Exactly. Through my Facebook acquaintances here and this blues community and stuff, this past week, there was a lot of talk about the TPP, which gave me the opportunity to say, yes, we talked about this for a full hour 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And then others are saying, says, we need to start checking out your show.
Yeah, man.
Because
I continued and
elaborated on what all was discussed on that show 2 weeks ago when we had, what's his name on? Please help me with his name. I'm just real blind.
Stuart Alexander?
Adam. We had Adam.
That's
Adam
it. Adam.
Weissman.
Thank you.
Oh.
And because he was very knowledgeable and really very informative and fired on all cylinders on this topic.
Okay.
Well, he's working actively in New York with a center to bring a halt to it. He does it every day for at least 13 hours a day. I learned that on Monday and Tuesday.
Good, man. He's living, breathing, and everything else in it. That's great.
Well, because that's what is needed for us.
His life is activism. That's his life. Good. There are a lot of people who are involved in Occupy Wall Street that have become nothing but living activists now. And a lot of them are clustered in New York. Others are clustered out in Oakland and other major metropolitan areas. It's a good thing because these people are dedicated to getting people knowledgeable about all of the finer print and the laws that are being passed. I mean, you know, it's like...
And some are passed deceptively and in secret, and we can't allow that anymore. It's too important. Every vote is important, and people can't be brainwashed into not voting or not paying attention. That's really bad.
Well, our good brother Pinko the Bear over there on his channel... every week is, and you know, he's when he's not being the livery driver in New York, he's a constant activist. That's his real job.
Great.
And
just like Sharif Hoytland is, and there are hundreds
and
of thousands of them all across the country.
More and more, well, Pinko's always been this way, but more and more, even Sharif is talking. You know, we have to get rid of this government. It is
exactly.
Yeah. And she comes this close to saying it's going to take a revolution, and both of them are pointing towards hammer handles and pitchforks.
Right.
Because
it's understandable, and I'm not too far away in agreeing with them, because I'll tell you what, this capitalism crap that we've been abusing all of us for way too long now, it's gone on steroids, and it's very dangerous,
and
it's horrible.
Well, the problem was, capitalism, but the real problem was we removed the checks and balances.
Exactly. And the Citizens United, terrible decision, and all of that other stuff, it all boils down to money. Too much money in politics. It corrupts and influences our government. It destroys our government. It destroys government of, by, and for the people. It turns it into of, by, and for dollars.
So the game, the chessboard is set, and a few of the pawns have been moved out of the way, enough so that the queen's made her first move on the white side, and you got all the black
analogy, by the way.
All them black kings lining up to funnel their way through the little old pawns place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much politics as usual, the same old, same old. And I know you guys, during this presidential season, I'm sure that you guys are going to be very enlightening to folks listening, and I'll put my contributions in. Often people get to the voting box and they say, God, who is that, you know, lesser evil? And
hold your nose and pull the lever.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot of machinations. We already know that. You steel yourself for it, because it's going to happen. We've just got to try and deflect it and channel it the best way possible. That's all you can do. You can't build a whole new edifice in one day or one election. It almost takes a lifelong commitment. You got to really keep beating on a wall constantly till finally the plaster starts to fall off.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's points to that. I give you that. I would remind you that this month we are supposed to have Dr. Stein on, who is formerly...
Oh, she is going to be on. Good.
She is. I'm just trying to lock down what date with Dennis. Hopefully she'll come on, but I would remind you what Stuart Alexander had to say, you know, that there was... a little lack of integrity on the party, the Green Party, when she was put in as candidate first time around, as far as working with him. And that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate to realize that in every political party that gets some kind of foothold, the politics set in more than issues and the...
Right. It happens, Gwen. And I'll tell you what. I've said this a million times before, and I'll keep saying it. until it finally sinks into everybody. We demand and expect perfection from our political machinations and our parties and our candidates. It's never going to happen, honey. It's always trying to get the best you can. You can't get perfection. You just try and make it as perfect as possible. That's all you can attempt to do. And as long as you work at it hard enough and use all the resources you have at your disposal that are not devious and that are honorable and fair, then you're going to be satisfied at the very end, I think. So we can't demand perfection. We'll never achieve it, and we'll always be disappointed.
Yeah.
That's very good advice, Jack. I can't fault you there. That's very good.
And, you know, we still try to achieve it. We still struggle for it, but we're not going to achieve it. So set your mind to that, gang. That's the way it's going to be.
Right.
Well, there are those, you know, who will say anything is possible, and working towards it is the goal, you know?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We've already been through that crap.
Oh, that was great. That was, John, that was great. That was great.
Well, it just struck me that Obama came up with that anything is possible stuff, and, you know, it usually isn't.
I'm still tickled.
I think you have to look at, we didn't have a long-term record to look at in Obama's case, because he kind of flew out of nowhere. He kind of like hit the sky like a comet and really, you know, went high quickly. But there are other candidates who have a long-term steady stream of being on the correct side of issues and being on the correct side of fair stuff and having common sense displayed time after time after time after time. And that's what we have to look for, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It's just, you know, coming up to the big day and the big month.
Consistency.
And seeing that your only choices are people that you know are going to put more soldiers on boats and
I hate that idea.
And let corporations begin to litigate communities and countries and individuals for what
and
they might
and buffalo people. That's why we've got to stress and we've got to keep pushing for accuracy in reporting, accuracy in candidacies.
Huh? The little tie-ons to the TPP, all the little treaties attached to it, the ones that
will they're all horrible.
The freedom from our internet and
they're all terrible.
All kinds of things. I mean,
the whole thing ought to be scrapped and thrown in a big burner.
Well, you know, a lot of lobbyists work real hard for that stuff.
Absolutely,
sitting on the edge.
I say, well, nuke K Street.
Nuke K Street. That's right. So
there's no honest lobbying being done anymore. It's all money under the table. It's all influence peddling. It's all trying to buy an election or a bill. That's all it is. They even write their own bills and submit them to dupe congressmen to put in as a law, and it's just disgusting. It's not the way democracy is supposed to be.
The Medicare bill for prescriptions that Bush put in, that they signed and pushed for and stuff, that was written totally by the pharmaceutical lobbyists.
You bet it was. Absolutely.
Right. And like you said, with TPP, now the pharmaceutical industry can now turn around and sue Medicare because they try to maybe, if really what should be done, and the law is Medicare and Medicaid cannot collectively bargain saying, look, we got a volume discount. We could buy such volumes. We want a volume discount from this. Mm-hmm. That's against the law. The VA can do it. The VA can say, hey, we're getting this much, cholesterol medicine or, you know, diabetes medicine and stuff, right?
Right, right.
We want a discount on quantity buying, which is a standard
practice. It's totally legitimate.
And
it's done private industry.
With
why the hell can't
industry.
It be done as a government agency? Why can't they do it, too? If private
because
industry can do it, why can't the government?
And the bill that Bush shoved through with the Republican Congress said it's against the law for Medicare to try to negotiate quantity discount.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Oh, and then they made it illegal to import cheaper, same exact drug, even made in the United States, but sold cheaply outside of our borders. It became illegal for a time to import that drug. Even though it was made in the U.S., it was perfectly safe, and because it came from a lesser-priced country, It was illegal to import. That is absolute bullshit. I'm sorry.
Well, and
that
let's paint this big picture here to make sure everybody understands. The drug is made in this country. It is sent to another country, which sells it cheaper.
They're
buying it at a large discount. They're giving it to their citizens through their nationalized health care cheaper.
Right.
Now, me as a, say, importer, well, I'll just go ahead, instead of buying it from the pharmaceutical countries here, I will buy it from overseas and bring it back into this country. So I'm just, all I'm doing is making a complete traveling loop.
I'll give you a perfect example.
It's against the law.
Absolute fact. I'll give you a perfect example of this, Wayne. I'm a diabetic, have been for many, many, many years. There's one kind of insulin that is a very fast-acting insulin. It's kind of revolutionized diabetes treatment. It's called Humalog, and it's very fast-acting. It starts taking effect within 15 minutes of administration. And the other stuff, the quickest other stuff's about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and some of it takes like 6 hours to start working. But regardless, this is the quick-acting stuff. In America, because the pharmaceutical industry is so powerful and stuff, they made it only available, and that maybe not only for that reason, but they made it only available by prescription. And so immediately you had to have a prescription to buy it. All right. A diabetic can buy this same drug out of Canada for about half the price you'd pay at Walmart here on a retail basis. You can buy it at about half the price, still made by Eli Lilly, which is in Indianapolis, Indiana. All right.
Thank you.
And
very good.
In Canada, right above the border, you get it for half price. Now, our Canadian exchange rate, it's almost at parity, or we're slightly below it. So that drug should be a lot more expensive to us now. But no, you can buy it over the phone or on the internet from Canada and have it delivered to your house, even with express shipping, for about half the price you'd pay. Legally here in the States at Walmart. Now, explain to me why that's right or good or beneficial to anybody except
the pharmaceutical companies. You're number one. We've got the best medical care in this country.
Yeah,
you cannot be right.
That's insane.
I heard all that we're number one in medical. That's why.
Well, you're not sure what you're
going
to be getting out of Canada. Bullshit. It was made in the U.S. to begin with and sent over there.
Thank you, Jack. I'm glad you brought it up. A very good point, and I hope our listeners are taking note.
Yeah, I hope you're taking notes, folks.
The point is that we have a really lousy medical, even with the Affordable Health Care Act. It's system. It does not cover people that need primary health care. No matter, because they allowed it to get so screwed up in Congress.
One of the reasons that I think the price is cheaper out of Canada, and I'll bet you almost any amount of money on this, is that Canada does have a single-payer system, and they do dictate to drug companies, no, you cannot do this kind of price. You've got to be more reasonable. You've got to get this
price
instead.
Let's tell them what it is. It's called price rigging.
Exactly. And it's going on like mad in this country, and it has been for years.
There's no joke about that. I think the best health care on the planet is probably France. Well,
France,
in the
Germany.
West.
Yep. Very good
and
stuff.
Denmark.
The Netherlands.
Denmark, too.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. You could be visiting.
Oh, all that socialized medicine stuff. That's what you're talking about, Gwen.
Oh, I know. I'm a commie, Pinko. Yeah.
You know, the only difference between their medical system and ours is that, A, it's a lot less expensive to administer over there because they don't have to allow for 20-30% profit margins for insurance companies that are just standing in the way and taking people's money. Oh, why do you have to pay somebody to pay your bills for you and then award them huge profits for doing so? That's insane. You know?
Yeah, it's not 20% profit margins, 200% profit margins.
Yeah, I mean,
realistic numbers.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean. But stated on paper, the way they do it in this country, they say 20-30%, but we know it's more than that. But regardless, why should you even have to provide them with that opportunity? Why should we have this plethora of guys making several million, $20 million a year or more, as the heads of these organizations, of these, if these things are supposed to be benevolent and helping people, they're not. They're only there for profit.
Right.
And they're perverting our entire medical industry and our pharmaceutical companies. It's just disgusting. We are a for-profit country, and it's killing us. And that's what's wrong with this capitalist system. It's on steroids in this country, and it needs to be overturned.
Well, and so, listen, you know, Japan is a capitalistic system, but even the CEOs of the Fortune 500 companies over there, like Sony and Toshiba and all the others that, you know, you mentioned like this, are totally baffled and just stupefied that CEOs in this country are awarding themselves the salaries that they are getting, you know, 1,000 times percent of the working man's wage.
Yeah.
Right. I know it's a buddy club. Once you get on the board of directors and you're a CEO, your buddies take care of you, and you get golden parachutes. We've discussed this. It is absolutely disgusting. It's evil. It should be absolutely destroyed. It's terrible. It's gone way too far.
The working middle class, the 99% of those of us in this country are the ones
99%.
Paying those salaries to them.
Exactly. It's disgusting. Yep.
Yeah,
and
really
a lot of that stuff could be in a single payer system. Just in the medical field could really eradicate a lot of that nonsense. It could bring prices down. It's supposed to do that. It would do that. Proof is the insulin you can buy out of Canada for half the price retail, even with delivery charges. I mean, there's no excuse for this stuff. Why? So United Health can make billions of dollars? I'm sorry, we don't need United Health. Get rid of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Single payer, Medicare for all. That's another Bernie Sanders plank that I strongly support. Medicare for all.
Yes,
exactly.
I agree with that 100%.
And no system is perfect. There's flaws with Medicare. There's flaws with all that stuff. But you know what? It's a hell of a lot better than this bullshit we've got right now.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, I have a question for you. Do you seriously think that Bernie Sanders could whip Hillary for the Democratic nomination?
I don't think there's a great chance, but there is a possibility. It depends on what Hillary does. It depends on if he's accepted by the media and taken seriously and not marginalized like they're trying to do right now. But he's a persistent fighter. And, you know, here's another thing that convinces me that it's not impossible for him. That guy has run – he ran in about a 55% Democratic state, Vermont, for the Senate last time. He was elected with 71% of the vote. That's
good
a huge amount. He trounced the Democratic candidate and the Republican candidate.
Yeah, because he's independent.
He is independent. Well, he's independent, but he's caucuses with the Democrats.
Oh, yeah,
but as an
independent
and with a socialist background, he was the mayor of Burlington, their biggest city. I think maybe even No Montpelier is their capital. But regardless, he has a strong record of telling the truth, shooting straight, and talking straight instead of nonsense and bullshit. Republicans there vote for him because they say he'll tell me the truth. I can trust him. They can trust him. All right? We've had nothing but politicians we can't trust in this country. It's time we had somebody that we can trust. And the reason I say that he has a spitting chance, not a great chance, but a spitting chance, he'll have a lot of people allied against him and stuff too, but people are fed up with the same old bullshit. They're fed up with Tweedledee and Tweedledum. He's a real alternative. He speaks fact. He talks about issues. He doesn't get into mudslinging, and those are refreshing things, and those are what this country needs, and it's good for democracy.
That's why
I say he has a spitting chance, and I don't want to see him completely snuffed out yet.
He has declared himself in the past a socialist, hasn't he?
Maybe early on, I can't remember, but he's been independent. He's the longest-serving independent in the Congress, both in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he can even garner Republican votes. Well, okay, you guys, Free Speech TV. Every Friday, he's on for 1 hour. He's on the Tom Hartman program in the morning, or at noon, I guess your time. And he answers calls from all over the country. And you know, he doesn't deflect the question. He doesn't get coy with people. He answers them straight. Or he says, "I don't know, but I'll look into that and call me again next week." He's a great guy that way. He's trustworthy, and you know. That's why he can garner Republican votes. That's why he can garner Democratic votes. And that's why I think he might be just exactly what we need right now. Now, whether he'll win or not, I don't think he probably will. There will be too much money allied against him. He's not accepting corporate money. He's not accepting big money like that. But let's see how far it can go, and let's see how far he can keep. He can push the parameter of the debate to the left rather than to the right.
It's interesting. It's an interesting proposition. It is. I agree with you.
Yeah, right. I don't think you can count him out yet. He's surprised a lot of people over the years.
Well, the other thing too is, you can take and elect somebody like Bernie Sanders as president. Okay,
uh-huh.
Someone who we like the message it's giving. But that being said, is now you've got to give him support. You need to purge out the Tea Party. The Me Too Democrats, which aren't any different than the damn Republicans.
Exactly.
They're taking enough corporate money. Right?
Yep.
You need to change the Congress and the Senate to give that man support. Because, face it, when Obama went in, he started bringing in things after the 2010 election.
Mm-hmm.
That man couldn't do anything right.
Right.
They were allied against him from the day he was
inaugurated. Wayne, the day he was inaugurated, there was the caucus conspiracy. They met at the caucus room, which is a restaurant in Washington. While he was being inaugurated, a bunch of top Republicans, including Kevin McCarthy, including John Boehner, including that damn Paul Ryan, including all these knuckleheads, Mitch McConnell, all these guys, they met and they determined right then, we are not going to give this guy anything. We are going to make sure him a one-term president. If we fail in that, we're going to make sure nothing gets passed by him. They barely passed Obamacare, and, it's better than nothing,
but it
still has got a long way to go.
At that point.
What's that?
Right. And that's because they had Democratic majorities in the House and the Senate at that point.
They did, yeah, and they still barely passed it. But regardless, they dug in their heels and they said, we can't give this guy anything. And that's almost traitorous.
The country.
Right. No,
the
it was only,
good
only good
for
them.
We're just
only good for
throw
them and the bigwigs. That's all it was good for.
Right.
That's all they cared about.
Right. We're just going to throw it in his face.
Yeah,
and that is such a scheming conspiracy. I don't think any president has ever, 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 and I hope they never will, encounter that kind of bullshit ever again.
Disgusting. Wait a minute, though. I mean, I'm very fond of docudramas on television, and I've seen a few that are supposed to be very factual, and I'd say they did that to John Adams.
John Adams, then, right? No, you're
right.
They
also did it to a few other of our early presidents. It's always
You're talking early, Gwen. That's 200 years ago. That isn't now. In recent history, that has never happened.
I think it's always been very nasty, and I think if we don't think
it has been. Look at the political cartoons of the 1870s. They were very nasty.
I think they've always played these kind of politics. I think it's all been wrapped up in money and wage slavery or slavery, and industrialization
It's gotten a lot worse, honey. It's gotten a lot worse.
Yeah, industrialization.
Due diligence on your research, and you'll see that it's gotten a lot worse. And particularly when the first black man was elected president, not that that was the catalyst for it, but it had a lot to do with it. The caucus room conspiracy is detestable, and the public media never talks about it because they're all bought out.
That's true.
I was going to say, you can't broadcast anything that may be negative to a corporation because who's funding your news is being funded by, guess what? Advertising dollars.
Exactly.
And who's paying the advertising dollars? The
corporations. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Well,
you're not going to tweak the nose of the man that's paying your bills.
Six main corporations own almost all the media in this country: press, radio, TV. Look at what they've done to radio. God Almighty, there's about 2% amount of progressive radio out there. The rest of it's all this Rush Limbaugh nonsense and Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and all those idiots.
But I will say this. I want to say this. In listening to Hillary Clinton's speech and all the points that she covered in it, all the issues, I'd say that the the top minds of high politics in D.C. are very well aware that people are not as dumb as they used to be, and that they're paying attention to all us little radio shows and all of us blogsters and free speech television.
That's a true statement.
And Democracy
Absolutely.
Now. They're looking for their answers that make sense, and the politicos know it, because you can see that by how Clinton hit her speech.
Right.
She hit all the hot buzzwords.
Yeah, she did the right. She good research on her part. Congratulations to her. But let's keep in mind, why are so many? Why, look at the Koch brothers, the amount of money they want to spend to lie us through the next election. And Sheldon Adelson and all of these guys. Why are they spending so much money if it isn't vitally important to them to bullshit the public and to get their candidate, to get
right.
Dennis, to get that Scott Walker elected? God almighty.
These
help.
Are businessmen, and they want a return on their investment.
They want a return on their investment big time.
That's obvious, but the point I'm trying to make is that it seems to be a truth that people are reading blogs and they're
yes,
listening.
Yes, very true, and that's, we got to encourage that. I agree.
Yes,
we got to encourage
I'm saying,
that.
I'm saying that the efforts that any of us make to keep the public in an awareness of what we see as the facts
right.
is paying off. There is
so we've got to redouble our efforts and make sure that it pays off, don't we?
Yeah, well, this is why I do this radio show, is because I find, to
exactly.
me, this is very, very important to get
very
this
important.
Diversified output viewpoint out there besides corporations
yep.
funded, let's call it, it's propaganda.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We're not getting a dime here, folks. And anyone
no,
listening
not
here,
at all. And nobody's paying us afterwards.
On this program right now, we're not getting a
right.
dime. We're contributing
yeah.
our own time. To make this
and we
happen.
Do it on empirical research that we've done and calculated and
exactly.
thought about. We don't just take things for granted and spew them out like Robotrons, you know. It's,
no.
it's something we've thought about. It's something that we're studying constantly, and it's we're always analyzing, and that's the healthy thing to do for as far as democracy is concerned, and that's why it's a good thing that we're on.
And keeping, I mean, I keep my eye on a bunch of indie news outlets.
Oh, yeah. All
the
over the place, yep.
Not so well-known ones. Keep an eye on Twitter. I mean, my God, if you've got your eye on Facebook or Twitter, you're getting what the national media is putting out 2 days later. You're getting it 2 days ahead of time.
Yeah, and, agreed. I will agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, I see that myself.
And the due diligence is this: you know, folks, you got to listen to what's being told to you. Remember what we've been through in the last 10 years. We've had how many years now of war? We've got a whole generation
right.
of war.
And listen to more than one source.
I was talking with my
evaluate
wife the other day.
Many sources.
I was talking with my wife just the other day, and I said, you know, hon, Morgan, my youngest will be 21 this August. And I said, you know what? There has not been a year since Morgan has been born that there has not been war going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen,
disgusting.
Gentlemen, I would remind you, gentlemen, we have all been born with the threat of nuclear annihilation throughout
our
right.
lives.
Yeah, we were all of us.
About, remember the duck and cover? That we learned in
oh,
school.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I said the only reason why they taught us to duck and cover under our desk. So they could know whose pile of ashes for the seating chart, whose ashes were these were.
Gentlemen,
that's the reason why they had a duck and cover under our desk.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we are at the conclusion of our show, and I just want to mention thank you to Roundtree 7, that's the number 7.com, who supports the show, and all of the posters and people working there. Jack Jodell and F. Wade Johnson. Guys,
thank you, Gwen.
Thank you,
Gwen. Another great show. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Look forward to it, everybody. And in the meantime, do your research. Do some reading.
Yeah.
Don't watch just Fox News and think you've gotten the news. Don't watch just MSNBC and think you've gotten the news. You haven't.
No. And for the listeners who are listening to us now, tell others about us, and even those who don't agree with you, they need to
yes.
listen to this program.
Keep pushing forward.
Bye-bye, folks.
Sunday show on Mr. Monsters Radio. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Thank you, gentlemen. Good night, Jack.
Thank you, Gwen. Yep. I like your new theme there, too, Gwen, by the way.
Keep it a while.
All right. Sounds good.